So today's reading is caught from Matthew 11, verses 18 to 24. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say, he has a demon. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, he is a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. But wisdom is proved right by her deeds. Then Jesus began to denounce the towns in which most of his miracles had been performed, because they did not repent. Woe to you, Chorazin, woe to you, Bethsaida, for if the miracles that were performed in you had been performed in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I tell you, it will be more bearable for Tyre and Sidon on the day of judgment than for you. And you, Capernaum, will be lifted to the heavens. No, you will go down to the Hades. For if the miracles that were performed in you had been performed in Sodom, it would have remained to this day. But I tell you that it will be more bearable for Sodom on the day of judgment than for you.
We feel right at home here at Morisset, and it's lovely to be able to share this morning in the Word of God itself. Let's just pray before I begin. Father, I just pray that my words may be appropriate and our hearts ready to receive your word, not only to hear, but to be challenged, yet, Lord, to be changed by your Spirit. So indeed that we may leave this place changed, more like Jesus, into the world that you place us in this coming week. And for this we would ask in Jesus' name. Amen. A true story was told of a woman and her baby leaving one of the West Coast towns in America and travelling up into the Rockies in the winter. She was going to see some friends way up in the Rockies. She didn't quite know how long it was going to take or when she would arrive. But after about 4 or 5 hours, she was concerned, so she went along to the guard to give an indication of when maybe the train stop was going to come up. After several attempts of trying to work that out, the train did stop. And one of the people in the carriage said, "Look, it's your train, it's your stop. You need to get out." So quickly she collected her gear and she moved out onto the station, and the train took off. About 45 minutes later, the guard came through to find the lady to tell her that the next stop was the stop that she was to get out. People waiting for her at the stop made sure that they tried to find out what was happening, and when they found out, they found that the woman had frozen to death, but yet the baby was able to be found alive. You know, decisions that we make have a significance on what end up coming out. As a Christian, we are on a life's journey. This journey, we need to make certain that we are listening to the right people and hearing the correct information. Otherwise, we may make poor decisions. You know, life is quite confusing. I like to eat chicken. Love to eat chicken. But you know, I found out last week that there's some association with chicken and cancer. Isn't life quite confusing? There are many voices today that are seeking to communicate information to us, and it is confusing. We are told what we are to think, what we are to say, what we are to eat, what we are to dress, the places we need to go. It's rather a confusing world, isn't it? And all of these things sort of send us these messages. I don't know about you, I'm on my computer. My wife thinks that, it's one of the places that I spend most of my life. But you know, on my computer, there are little things that pop up all the time. I didn't ask for them, but they pop up and tell me what I'm supposed to be doing, what I'm supposed to be listening to. You know, whatever we listen to and whatever we see affects our attitudes, our beliefs, and our behaviour. You know, from the text this morning, from Matthew, we are told that Jesus was told that he was a partygoer. Wow. Gluttonous, a wine bibber, and a friend of publicans and sinners. You know, throughout Jesus' life, he was constantly misunderstood. He was questioned. He was revived. And he was ultimately crucified by his own people. However, all the way through his experiences, Jesus knew not to listen to those criticisms because he knew who he was. As a Christian, I've been personally challenged and criticised as being hypocritical, intolerant, narrow-minded, fanatical on some occasions, and certainly old-fashioned. You know, those criticisms do hurt. And you know, they're aimed at, challenging my faith and my convictions to follow the Lord as my Lord and Saviour. Sort of leads, I think, trying to make a compromise in my faith. The world tells me that being a good person is all that matters, that the Bible is full of all sorts of errors, that God, if God is so good, why is there so much evil and suffering in the world? Why would a loving God, send people to a place called hell? The reason is that we're living in a society, in a world that is filled with secular humanism. We're told that secular humanism states that humans are capable of being ethical and moral beings without any religious beliefs in a deity at all. When you think about it, the reality is that humans aren't able to make ethical and moral decisions. The Bible tells us that we're all sinners, doesn't it? This is so because the world is under the control of Satan, who wants to destroy the lives of all those that belong to him, to the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, he uses lots of people, lots of circumstances. We're rushing around this morning with our sound. He wants to destroy. He's a murderer and a liar. The Bible tells us that our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places. We're in a spiritual war. We go around most often completely oblivious to this. But Satan wants to destroy us, wants to make a mockery of our lives. You know, the struggle in this church and in mine in Sydney is that we're in this spiritual battle against Satan and his angels, who wants to destroy our churches, their influence in the community, and the lives of each member of the congregation. You know, if we don't understand this truth, we will never be discerning enough to protect ourselves against the devil and his angels. You know, the Bible says that we fight with weapons that are different from the worldly weapons. our weapons have power from God that can destroy the enemy's strongholds. And there are many around Morisset. You know, we're also fighting against false teachers within the church. I had some lovely visitors today, during the week, some JWs who wanted to talk to me about death. What was going to happen after death? When I wanted to talk to them about the Saviour, about Jesus Christ being the Son of God, they didn't want to know at all. There are a lot of interesting people, and I don't want to criticise churches and doctrines, but we need to be aware of what has been preached, that it's the truth of the Word of God. So who should we listen to? The Bible teaches us in Hebrews chapter 1, in many and varied ways, God spoke of old to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he spoke unto us by his Son, whom he have appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. So in times past, he spoke by the prophets, and today he's speaking by and through his Son. You know, I'm aware that God can speak to us through creation. I live on the lake, beautiful place. God can speak to me when I get up in the morning, just sit out on the veranda and admire the wonderful creation of God. He speaks to us through other believers, speaks to us through music, speaks to us through dreams, speaks to us through spiritual gifts, miracles, circumstances, and through prayer. But most importantly, God wants to speak to us through his Son and through his Word. It really is important in our busy lives. The world that's full of noise and the world that wants to grab hold of. You know, it's so easy to get caught up. But you know, it is so, so important that we need to set aside so that we can have a time of prayer and read God's word so he can speak to us. You know, Jesus taught with authority. He taught about the kingdom of God. And he not only taught about it, he demonstrated the kingdom of God with his power over the devil, over sickness, over sin, over nature, and over death. I'd like to just share this morning some words from Jesus that I want you to listen to afresh and anew, because he wants to speak to you this morning. I am the good shepherd, and my sheep hear my voice and follow me. He who has seen me has seen the Father. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. You know, I was talking to a group of six young Year 5 students on Friday, and we were looking through the book of Mark, and we got to the stage that we're looking at what Jesus had done for us on the cross. We've celebrated that this morning. We thought about that this morning. We thought about the fact that the sky became black. Heavenly Father turned his back upon him. We thought about the veil being rent from top to bottom. We thought about the hands that were crucified, nails in his hands. We thought about the scourging, the 39 whips that were across his back. We thought about the fact that he was so disfigured that no one would recognise who he was. We thought about the fact that he did that because he loved us unconditionally. We thought about that because of the fact of the justice of God. It was our sin that placed him upon a cross. And because of our sin, sin needed to be punished. And Christ became sin for us. He who knew no sin, that we may be the righteousness of God in him. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And when I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. And I will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. I don't know about you. I get goosebumps upon goosebumps, knowing that Jesus has gone to prepare a place for me and for you. And he's coming back to take us to be with him forever. Don't you get excited by that? All authority, Jesus is saying, in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always to the close of the age. Not only did Jesus die for us, not only has he gone to prepare a place for us, he's given you and me a task to go into the world wherever we live and make disciples of others. You know, in addition to Jesus' words, and I trust they've found newness of heart in you, we find that all scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for the instruction in righteousness, that the man, and I put the woman there because it's important, and the child of God may be completely equipped for every good works. I'm encouraged that all scripture is given by the inspiration of God, not just some of it, but all of it. It's profitable for doctrine. You don't have to go to theological college. My experience in theological college when I came out, all I had was a sore head. For reproof, you know, I found that the Holy Spirit, very conscious, reminding me of areas in my life that I need to have dealt with him, to seek his forgiveness. And not only the Holy Spirit works, but I'm conscious of the fact there are others that bring to my attention areas of my life that need to be changed. You know, godly criticism needs to be based upon truth and out of unconditional love. Its purpose is to build a person up and not to bring them down. You know, correction, instruction in righteousness, we heard this morning that we have all the gifts that are necessary for us to live a godly life. Thus, Scripture states, you know, that we are children of God. I'm excited. That we have our sins forgiven, past, present, and future. And we have the gift of eternal life. It also gives us the principles and also shows us that we have the Holy Spirit that gives us the power to live a godly life. But we must allow the Holy Spirit to guide us in applying those principles from Scripture into our everyday situations. I just want to finish with a verse that I find probably is my most, favourite verse. And it's this verse here. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and rely not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your way straight. Who should we be listening to? The world wants to crush us, make it so confusing that we can't trust the Lord. But here we have a wonderful verse. Trust the Lord with all your heart, everything within me. I shouldn't listen to what I think. If I acknowledge him, he will direct my path day by day, moment by moment. Then who should we listen to? The world wants to destroy our faith, but God wants to build us up and change us from within and from without to be like Jesus. And the choice is yours this morning. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the challenge of your word. Father, we want to thank you that you do speak to us through your word and through the circumstances and through other people. We know that the world and the people in it and Satan that underlines all of this wants to break us down and destroy us. But praise be to God. We know that you desire to hold us in the palm of your hand. Protect us, strengthen us, direct us, guide us. Help us to live the life that you want us to live in the world that you've placed us. In Jesus' name. Amen.